Let's take a look for a minute at the sugya of Rov. Because we've been discussing Rov for a long time, but we never went back sort of to the Shorosh Hashrosh, to the root of roots.
So, because we spoke about Rov outside, in a sense, in the context of something else.
Yeah, but you know, we have the nine stores, and let's get back to brass tacks. So to do that, what I would like to suggest is that we begin with the Mishnah and just read the first line of the Mishnah right at the beginning of Chulin. Again, we're going to be jumping around in order to get a picture of what Rov is all about.
Okay.
So the Mishnah establishes Hakol Shochtim Ushkitasan Kshera. Everyone and anyone could shecht an animal, and the Shkita is reliable. Tosus here says, Kasub Behilchas Eretz Yisrael, some say he's referring to the Yerushalmi, the Nashim Lo Yishchitu, that L'chatchila, we don't want the women to shecht, Mipnei Shedaiton Kalos, which means they get a little queasy at the sight of blood. You know, Shkita, especially in the case of a large animal, is a very bloody affair. After quoting the Yerushalmi, Tosus says, V'ein Nira, and Tosfos has rayas from Zvachim that women can shecht. But I thought that perhaps, according to the Yerushalmi, women, when it says lo yishchetu, it means lechatchila lo yishchetu. But the Eved, of course, we can rely on the shechita. The Yerushalmi didn't deny that. What the Yerushalmi was nervous about is appointing a woman as a shochet, or a shochetes, I guess you could say, because we don't want to do that.
But it doesn't invalidate the shechita.
But it would not invalidate the shechita b'di'evet, and therefore, when the Mishnah says hakol shochtim, it means that anyone could shecht l'chatchila, except for someone, shechitas and kshera, whose shechita is only reliable b'di'evet.
That means someone who's not necessarily Orthodox or something like
Well,
that?
Well, no, I don't know about Orthodox. I'm talking now about Noshim, that according to the Yerushalmi, we should avoid appointing a woman, because a woman is considered what we call a minui kahal. Minui kahal means she's appointed on behalf of the kahal, as the, you know, the upstandikin, you know, the reliable shochet, and that we shouldn't do. But again, but I don't believe that the Yerushalmi would say that b'di'eved the shechita is psula in the case of an isha. The Torah didn't exclude the shechita of a woman. And I just want to point out to you, again, I don't want to get too bogged down because we're really pressed for time and we want to get to the sugya of Rov, but I just want to point out to you that this distinction between lechatchila and b'di'eved is established by Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, and I hope to find it for you inside, but in the meantime, just rely on me, that when the Mishnah says Shchitas and Kshera, it means B'di'evet. And the Mishnah wants to tell you that although any Shchita and every Shchita is reliable, not every Shchita is L'chatchila. And the question is, what category of cases is he relying upon? Is he referring to when he says that it's only b'di'eved? And I think that's, you know, the Yerushalmi might be one segue into understanding why the Mishnah differentiates between l'chatchila and b'di'eved. But I would like to press another possibility during the course of our discussion today with regard to Rov, that there may be cases where the shechita will be okay because we rely on Rov, but lechatchila, we wouldn't want to rely on Rov. And that's going to be the case that Bli Neder will discuss at the beginning of Yoredeya. We'll get out the Shulchan Aruch, don't get nervous about it. And in that case, somebody shows up from nowhere, he's not a manui, he hasn't been appointed as a shochet, and he claims, I'm a shochet. He comes from Medina Sayyam, from a far off place, and he identifies himself as a shochet. And b'di'eved, we can accept his shechita if he went ahead and he shechted, because most people, Rov, people that claim and are capable of using a shechita knife. You know, I would never claim that I could shecht an animal because I don't have any
question,
experience.
Is there a form of smicha for shechtim?
Not smicha, it's called kabbalah.
Okay, so right, kabbalah. That's like a certificate right. saying that they are...
It's called a kabbalah of a shub. I don't know if you know anyone by the last name shub.
Shub.
It's a common name amongst Ashkenazim. Shub. Shub really means a shochet ubod.
It's today called shub with a double O, but probably the same.
Okay, it doesn't matter how you spell it. I'm sorry. Shub.
No.
I was just pointing out that there's a common name called shochet. You're familiar with that. But there's also a common name called shub. And it all comes from the same origin. A shub is a person who got Kabbalah as a shochet ubodik. What does it mean, a shochet ubodik? First, he knows how to shech properly, and secondly, he knows how to check and investigate his shechita to make sure that it's a shechita kshera.
Today, they use the shochet does both, or they have people that check?
I'm not 100% sure. I think it changes from place to place.
But is that something that the shochet has to learn? It has to learn how to check?
Yes. In order to get Kabbalah, it's
and
not enough that he knows how to do shechita.
Is Rabbi Yochel a piece of paper saying it?
Yes. I was once visiting I made a Nichum Avelim call to a friend of mine who's a Sfaradi. He comes from Turkey, the real McCoy Sfaradim, and he showed me a Kabbalah of shechita from Izmir. Izmir is a city with a large Jewish population in Turkey. And that Kabbalah went back many, many years. In fact, let's not get off on a tangent.
Yeah.
So again, just to take a look at the Gemara here on Daf Beis Amud Beis, if you count that about 10 lines, this is Rav Ashi who's speaking. Amalei ana shchitasan kshera kashali. My question on the Mishnah is that it says shchitasan kshera. And what was bothering me? Midik tani shchita san kshera, since the Mishnah says that their shchita, whoever that they is, right, the unknown they, is reliable, di'eved. It means that b'di'eved it's reliable. Michlal, then by process of elimination, dahakol, the first statement of the Mishnah, is l'chatchilahu. It means that that's l'chatchilah. Di'i di'eved, Tarti, Dieved, Lamali. Why would the Mishnah have to give me two cases of Dieved? One case is called Akol Shochtim is only B'dieved, and the other case is Shchitas and Ksher is B'dieved. There's a superfluous and extra words in the
what
Mishnah.
What does that mean? Akol Shochtim
v'Shchitas and Ksher. So Rav Ashi says that Shchitas and Ksher means B'dieved. L'chatchil, we would not allow them to do Shchita. But if they did, they went ahead and they shechted. We're not going to say that the meat is Asur. We'll rely on that shechita. But then it says in the Mishnah, kol shochtim. That implies lechatchila. So Rav Ashi's problem is, tell me, how do I reconcile this? Under what circumstances do we give the chalif the knife to the shochet? We say, you could shech. That's called lechatchila, kol shochtim. Under what circumstances do we say, well, we wouldn't want to give you the knife, but once you put the animal to the knife and you shechted, is then shechitascha kshera. We can rely on your shechita b'di'evet, but look at chilin not. That was Rav Ashi's question. So again, we're going to suggest two possible scenarios to answer Rav Ashi's question. Number one, the Yushalmi's answer of Noshim, that look at chilin, we don't appoint a woman as a shochet.
And that's who it's referring to, is the implication.
And therefore that would be shechitascha on kshera b'di'evet, but not...
So why don't they say Noshim? Why don't they bring Noshim?
No, I'm just suggesting that one possibility. Again, we don't know what is the case.
Yeah, but that would be a question. Why it wouldn't just say specifically
no,
the Mishnah.
The style of the Mishnah is to leave principles abstract so that we'll fill in the details. The Mishnah wants to give us an abstract principle to tell me that there's a distinction between Shechita L'chatchila and Shechita B'di'evet. The Mishnah is not going to go into detail about what specific cases. That's what the Gemara is for. And we're going to analyze those possibilities. I want to suggest that if you don't recognize this Shochet, he comes from Medina Sayam. He comes from Yehupitzvelt. He came in on a plane from the North Pole. Mm-hmm. And he says, Ich bin a Shochet. Mm-hmm. And he goes and he shechts. We don't give it to him because we haven't checked him out. We don't have any documents. Nobody tested him. But B'dieved, we can rely on a shechita because of Rov. Rove tells me that most people who go ahead and shech, they don't do it just for the joke of it. They do it because they have the experience and they know exactly how to do it. Okay. Now what I want you to do is to turn to Daf Tes Amud Aleph. And here we have a statement of Rav Hun.
How far down?
Well, it's hard to say how far down because it's smack in the middle of this very large, long page. And you'll see if you...
What's the Etiver Masker?
It's the first word in the line is Huna. Again, if you would count from the bottom up...
Huma Dama.
Yeah, Di Omar. Do you see that?
Yeah.
So this is Rav Huna Di Omar. Rav Huna made a statement. Now let's follow Rav Huna's statement. Behema, an animal, Bechayeha, as long as it's alive, Bechezkas Isur Omedis. Okay, those are three very heavy words. Okay? So if you take a look at Rashi, which you'll see before the lines get wide, Rashi says, Sharei Asura, let's see if you can guess what Rashi is going to say. Why is an animal during its lifetime in a cheskas isur? It's assumed to be prohibited.
For a blemish?
Well, a blemish would only be nogea to kodshim. We're talking here about chul.
Yeah, because any blemish anyway is going to be...
What's the status of an animal while it's alive? We've discussed this on many occasions. What's the Easter of eating a live animal? Eivir ben Achad. So take a look at Rashi. Sure enough, Rashi says, Shasura mipnei mishum Eivir ben Achad. Therefore, says Rav Huna, Ad shi vadalecha b'men nishchita. The only time you can establish that there's a heter, the animal is kosher, I'm allowed to eat it, is achi yivada lecha. Now we have to shtel on this word yivada. Yivada means with certainty. We have to know with certainty. Says Rashi, again going back to the Rashi that we started before Hilkach, im nolad safek b'shchita, if we have any doubts about the shchita, ubasa lahamida alches kasa, then the law that governs a safek is called chazaka. Right, we don't know. Let's say, for example, you have an unmarried woman. How do you know she's not married? Maybe at one point she received kedushin. The answer is chazaka. Her chazaka is that she's not married until we know that she's married. Let's say a woman who we know is married comes forward and says, "Well, I received a get." We don't believe her. She has to produce a get. Why? Because she has a chazaka that she's an Eishes Ish. This animal, during its lifetime, has a chazaka being asura by virtue of the Isur Eivir ben Achai. Now you want to tell me, no, the animal was shechted. Well, how do I know for sure that the shechita was a shechita kshera? The answer is, ad shi vada, until such time that you know that there was a perfectly good, reliable shechita, you can't take the animal out of its chazaka. Basal amid al chazkasa, sharei b'chol dovra ta omer hame dovra al chazkasa. Rashi says
that the status remains as it was before.
The status remains as it was before until you know for sure that otherwise that the status changed. You can't remove a status quo based on a suffix. And therefore, if we apply that principle here, Behemazu. Asura sharei becheskas isur haisa mitchila. In its original state, it has a cheskas isur. Umi safek atabola hatira. Now you don't know whether or not the shechita was a shechita kshera. So what do? You say, you know what? Shema nishchita karoi. You can't say maybe it was shechted properly. Ad shetatireno misafek, and then you're going to be matri based on a safek? No, that's not enough. Ad shivada lecha shenishchita karoi. Rashi says, you must know for sure that the chazaka was changed. How is the chazaka changed? Through a shchita. It's shchita that removes the isur Eiver Minachai.
I thought you said that the Shechit itself won't change its status.
Unless you're sure, absolutely sure.
If he's sure,
that the Shechit was a perfectly good Shechit. But if you have doubts...
It's knocking off Rove. It's knocking off the...
Well, I don't know about Rove. Let's see about Rove. We're going to get to Rove.
Majority, you're assuming someone without...
Yitzchak, do me a favor. Yeah. Leave out Rove, because it's just going to confuse us.
Okay.
Let's just talk about what the Gemara says. And the Gemara speaks about Chazaka. Okay. What's Chazaka? The status of the animal during its lifetime is Iser. That's called Eiver Minachai. You want to change the status of this Behema, of this Iser, you have to prove to me. The burden of proof is on you to change the Chazaka and establish that there was definitely a Shechita here.
Because there was a Chazaka in the first place.
Exactly.
Had there not been a Chazaka, you wouldn't need as much proof.
Exactly. Right. Excellent. And now I'd like you to turn to Daf Yud Amid Beis. And you'll see again, smack in the middle of the page, the first word in the line is Kvodo. It's sort of like, if you see the Tosis L on the side,
yeah.
So it's like halfway through that Tosis, you'll see the word Kvodo.
In the text of the Gemara?
Yeah, the first word in the line in the text of the Gemara is Kvodo.
First in the line is Kvodo?
The first word in the line on top of the page is Kvodo. Okay. Good. Now look at the fourth word in the line. That's where we're starting. Minaha milsa. What is the source for this statement? The Amar Rabbanon, that the Rabbanon say, Uki milsa aches kase. Aches ke. We've just finished saying that if the animal was shechted and we have doubts as to whether the shechita was a shechita kshera, we can't eat the animal. Why not? Because of the cheskas isur. Okay, there's a cheskas isur. And if there's a cheskas isur, then in order to remove that chazok, you need vadai.
Mm-hmm.
Suffolk is not going to be able... So if somebody has a suffolk about the nature of the shechita, and we cannot determine whether the shechita was a shechita kshera, forget it. Don't even dream about eating the meat. That's because the meat has a chazok, a cheskas isur. So now the Gemara wants to know, Mina Hanimili, Mina Hamilsa. What is the source, the basis for this halach of Chazaka? How do we know that the status quo remains the halachic status quo until we know for sure that that halachic status quo was changed?
Mm-hmm.
What's the source for that halach?
Svara wouldn't be enough.
I don't think Svara is enough, and I'll tell you why. Excellent question. Because Bishlema, in the case of Shechita, I could say that's a Svara. Why? Because you want to be Matir the Bosmer. You want to be Makil and be lenient. Who says that you can be Makil based on a suffering? It doesn't make any sense to me. The animal is assumed to be Asur. And now you want to tell me it became Mutter. How did it become Mutter? You have to attribute the transformation to a shechita. Well, what right do you have to change the status and be mekel? But Rabosai, I want to show you that the halach of chazaka goes even further. It even works lekula. Chazaka doesn't only mean lechumra. Let's say, for example, I have a suffix whether this woman was married or not. Now Chazaka tells me she's not married. Because since she was born as a Pnuya, now you want to prove that she's married. The burden of proof is on you to establish that she's married. Well, for example, the sugya that I'm teaching in Ksuvus now. A woman has a Cheskas Besula. Now you want to claim she became a Ba'ula. The burden of proof is on you to prove that she's a Ba'ula. So you claim Pesach Pasuk Matzasi. That's the famous sugya that we're learning now. On Wednesday nights,
mm-hmm.
And you're all invited to join. Him too. And no, he can't say, no, she's a Bula. How do we know she's a Bula? There's no testimony. The word Chazaka is a very fascinating word. We assume, because of the prototype of Chazaka, which is the case of Shechita, that Chazaka works L'chumra. But the truth of the matter is that that's not true. That is an oversimplification. Chazaka works even Lakula. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example of a Chazaka Lakula. This is a sugya on Daf Yudam and Aleph. Maybe we'll look at it later. I'm trying to, you know, gauge the clock here and see what we could fit in. Let's say the Shochet, after he shechts the animal, he checks his knife, and lo and behold, he finds a nick in the knife. That's called a pegima, pegam. Mm-hmm. Now, the smallest nick in a knife passes shechita. There are five psuli shechita. One of them is a sakin peguma. Now, the issue here is the following. Shechita requires severing two simon, called the kan and the vosh and the veshet, which is, I think, in English, the esophagus and the windpipe. Mm-hmm. Okay, after now. Trachea and esophagus. Now, after the shechita, what happens is the shochet with the knife hits the neck of the animal, the tzavar. If the collision between the sakin and the tzavar caused this pegima, everything is kosher v'yosher, because at the moment that he cut the two simonim, there was no pegam. But if, on the other hand, if I assume that even before, because again, you know, the skin on the outside of the neck as well. Maybe when even though he checked the sakin before the shechita, but when he started the shechita, or maybe when he started Rov Simon or whatever it might be, that at that point, or Miyad Simon, I should say, at that point it became pogum. So I don't know now whether I can rely on this shechita, because I find the sakin after the shechita to be peguma. And it all depends upon when the pegima happened. Did it happen before the shechita? Did it happen after the shechita? So Rav Huna says on Daf Yud that, guess what? Who can guess? You have 50-50 chance of getting it right. Can we eat the meat or can we not eat the meat?
Do you say, the question here is the chazaka changed or no?
Yeah. Exactly, because the shechit itself creates a chazaka. Once the sakin was checked before, then we assume the sakin remains kosher v'yosher until we know otherwise. Mm-hmm. And we only know otherwise now. When we check it after the shechita, we have a right to say that the begima took place after the shechita. Here's a case of chazaka
lekula.
That's why I say, Sammy, it's very tricky to rely on logic, on svara, for chazaka. The Gemara is not willing to do so. We need a basis in the Torah for chazaka. And that's what
that means, that we each case is judged on its own merits, and it's a different halacha depending on the situation.
Right, the psak is always going to be the same. Namely, in concept, we rely on chazaka. To change the chazaka, you need a vadai. But whether that means, therefore, we go lechumra, mm-hmm. or whether it means, therefore, we go lekula, that all depends on the scenario itself. Mm-hmm. The power of chazaka is always the same. Lechumra or lekula.
In a sense, the stakes are too high to rely simply on svara.
Right, because svara could work lechumra. You know, you want to say svara lechumra. Why change the status of this basar based on a questionable shechita? That I can accept. But you want to say that now we have a question on the sakin shel shechita, and therefore you're going to tell me, no, it didn't become pogum until after the shechita. Now I'm going to eat that meat. And by the way, when I say eat that meat, I mean I'm going to serve it at a satmer sheva brachos. There's no room for chumras over here, Rabos. This is not a question of, oh, yeah, let me be from. It has nothing to do with from guy.
This is the lacha. This is the lacha.
This is the lacha. Mm-hmm. And if somebody wants to say otherwise, then he's megal upon him. Lach, shalok, halacha. I don't know what we do with such a guy. There's no room for chumras over here. The Torah says we rely on chazaka. L'chumra l'kula. A man's going to say, I'm not going to marry this woman. Maybe she was married by somebody else. What are you talking about? Uki gavra cheskasay. She has a cheskas pnuya of heter. And that's what we're going to rely on. Omrav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omrav Yonason, Omar Kro, V'yosa Kohen min habayis, El Pesach habayis, V'hizgir es habayis, Shivas Yomim. There's something called Hezger habayis. Hezger habayis means, in Hilchus Tzaras, you know, that Tzaras depends upon one man. It's a one-man show. Who's that?
Kohen.
The Kohen. Everything depends on the Kohen. Forget about doctors and lawyers. They're all good guys. But when it comes to Tumah of Tzaras, it's all the Kohen. The Kohen goes in. He looks at the Nega. And he determines that the Nega needs Hezger. And Hezger means that it's got to be locked up, quarantined, for 7 days. Now, 7 days go by, and he looks at the Nega. And he has a right to assume that if the Nega hasn't changed, then it hasn't changed. In a case of Nigei Batim, Hezger means he locks up, quarantines the bais because he saw a nega, a very suspicious nega. 7 days later he checks, and lo and behold, he finds the same nega. Frek the Gemara, I don't understand. What happened during that 7 days? Maybe during that 7 days, the nega changed its size, its color, and it was no longer a nega hamitamas. Dilma added nothing until he left out. Viyasa, then he came back a week later. But so le shiura. Maybe it shrunk a little bit. What gives you the right? What is the Torah saying here that the Hezger makes the Kohen justified in assuming that the Nega is exactly today as you see it today is what it was a week ago? Maybe somewhere in the middle, when the Kohen turns his back on the bias, this Nega became shrunk.
But you can't rely on the Kohen to know that the size was the same as before?
No, but how do you know that physically the size didn't change? The answer is that the first re'iyah, at the beginning of the month, creates a chazaka. And that chazaka allows the Kohen to assume that it didn't change during that 7 days. Mm. Rabosai, what do we see from here?
You mean if there were small changes that he could detect?
Well, how can he detect it when he doesn't look at the bias for 7 days? The Kohen went for a holiday to the Bahamas for a week. He's not around. How does he know that during that week the status and the size of that nega didn't change? The answer is because that was the status quo of the nega when he first saw it a week ago at the beginning of the week. That's called Tumas Hezger. And if Hezger is predicated on one concept, it's the prime concept of Chazaka.
I don't know if you're saying the same things that you're saying. Okay, so Shema Achu Yotze Ubam Navais Nechsar Lo Shiur Nega Kodum Shehizkir Zabais.
Oh, he's saying Kodum Shehizkir Zabais. Oh, I see. Okay.
That is, it wasn't okay. The week, it was right the first time.
But Rabosa, I just want to derive one conclusion. Because it's a little confusing. The Gemara says, Minani Mili Di Omer Rabbanon Uki Milsa Chezka Achezke. When you read that line, what impression do you get? You know, all of the Torah is divided up into what we call two parts, Doraisas and Durabonans. This halach of Chazak, is it a Doraisa halach or Durabonan? We'll read the Gemara. The Gemara says, Minani Milsa Di Amur Rabbanon. What does it sound like?
Sounds like a
Durabonan. Name. It's not a Durabonan. How do I know it's not a Durabonan? Because the source for it is in scriptures, right. In the parish of Hezger. Fine. Now, Rabosa, I'd like you to fast forward to Daf Yud Aleph, Omen Aleph. We are learning now the highlights of the first Perek L'chu. Top line. Second to the top line. Minah ha-milsa. You have it again? Minah ha-milsa di-omer abonon zil basa ruba. Watch this. Until now, we've asked the question, what's the source for the halacha of chazaka? And that's this entire sugya here on the bottom of Yud Amud Beis. Now the Gemara wants to know, what's the source for the halacha of rov? In other words, the Torah relies not just on chazaka, but also on rov. Now let's give an example. The first siman in Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya, a man comes from nowhere and he announces, I'm going to shecht an animal. And he goes and he shechts an animal. Where are your documents? Where's your Kabbalah and Shechita? We didn't have time to check him out. And then he goes back to Medina and says, yeah, can we eat the meat? Can we not eat the meat? So Shulchan Aruch Paskins, I hope we'll be able to fit this in. I'm working against the clock that you could eat the meat. Why? Because rov mitzuyim etzel shechita mumchinim. Nobody picks up a chalif and starts, you know, cutting two simonim hoping that he gets it right. He's experienced. He didn't have his documents with him. I once got caught going into Canada. I didn't have my work permit. Don't ask what the Canadians did to me. Because I left the work permit in Canada. So I wanted to tell the guy at immigration, just look at my work permit. It's in my house in Canada. You know, but no, you got to have your documents. So sometimes people forget their documents. If you forget your passport, you're in deep trouble. Be that as it may, this Jew forgot his Kabbalah on Shechita, and he has no documentation. We're going to rely on a Shechita. Why? Because Rov Mitzuyin Etzel Shechita Mumchini. In fact, the Gemara, Minohani Mil? How do we know such a thing? So the Gemara says, Minohan? What are you, an ignoramus? How can you ask such a silly question? Everybody knows where the Torah says that you're a lion Rov. Dichsiv Achrei Rabim Lahatos. The Torah itself says that we should rely on Rov. Now, here we have to take a minute and ask ourselves, in what context do we find this pasuk? If you take a look in the Torah, it's a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. It says, Lo siya achrei rabim laros, velo sana al riv, lintos achrei rabim lahatos. What's the context of that pasuk? Sanhedrin. Okay? What does it mean, Sanhedrin? When a case comes in front of Bezdin, it could be Yisuvah Heter, it could be Tum Vatara, it could be Dini Mominus, we decide the case based on what? Rov. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you remember the famous Kasha that we saw in the Pre-Chadosh, if you recall, that we did before. Again, it's been a while. They're called Kavua Kevetz Al Mechzidom. But okay, leave out that Kasha. Whatever it is, maybe the Dibur is Porish, but we rely on Rov. Frek the Gemara, you're asking me such an Amaratzish question. What's the source for Rov? The Torah says Rov. Achri Rabim Lahatas. But before we see the Gemara's answer, I want to point out to you that Tosus has a different kasha. Tosus says, I don't understand what the Gemara is batting about. We just had on Daf Yudam at base a long, complicated sugya trying to establish what?
Chazaka.
Tosus says, what do you mean? If the Torah, as we've established and derived, relies on chazaka, then ipso facto the Torah relies on rov. How does Tosus know this? The imtoma. It's about four lines down from the top of the page. Kevan di amrina and zil basar chazaka, kolshkein basaruba. Look at that kolshkein. What's the underlying premise of the kolshkein of Tosus? Which is greater, Rov or Chazaka?
Chazaka.
Again, he says, Kolshkein Basaruba. If the Torah says rely on Chazaka, Kolshkein, how much more so do rely on Rov? So which is more powerful, Rov or Chazaka?
It's Rov.
Rov. How does Tosus know that Rov is more powerful than Chazaka? So I would have told you, based on the sugya of Hakol Mitzuyin, Rov Mitzuyin, it's Shechita Mubchinen. After all, Behemah B'chayeh B'chezkas. Israel medis. Actually, vadel chabame nishchita. How do I know that the shchita was a shchita kshera? The answer is rov. No, so you see that rov is greater than chazaka. But Tosus quotes a different source, a sugya in Masechta Baba Basra, the ruba v'chazaka ruba adif. Now, Rabosi, you're going to have to help me out here because the print is a little bit small for me. What is that little letter there? Ruba of Chazaka, Ruba of Zion. It's a little Zion,
where,
I think.
Where's Rav looking?
Again, every Gemara is a little bit different.
In Tosfos or in the Gemara?
Yeah, I'm saying, every Gemara is different.
Yeah,
you know, we don't have the same Gemara, but in the Vilna Shas Gemara, he tells you where the source for this Tosfos is Ruba Chazaka, Ruba Adif, and it has a little Zion here. Does he tell you where the source is? He doesn't have it.
I've got a star here.
No, all right, maybe the star will tell you where it is. I think, if I remember correctly, don't hold it against me if I'm making a mistake, it's a Sugya Baba Basra. And the Sugya Baba Basra establishes that Rov is stronger than Chazaka. So again, let's go through the logic of Tosfos. We've just finished proving that Chazaka is absolutely reliable. And the Torah says that based on a Chazaka, you paskin dinin. And we establish that's Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra. But yet, we have another principle. that Rubav Chazaka Rubadif, that Rov is stronger, more powerful than Chazaka. Now, if you already know Chazaka, and Rov is stronger than Chazaka, then ipso facto, you know that Rov is reliable. So we now have two kashas over here. Kasha number one is the Gemara's kasha. What are you talking? Where do you know Rov from? The Pasuk says Achri Rav Lahatis. And question number two, Rov is stronger than a Chazaka. So why do you ask me the question, where do we know Rov from? If you know Chazaka, and that we spent so much time deriving Chazaka, then certainly we know Rov. Yes, you look a little perplexed. I mean, it's pretty clear, no?
No, I'm just sorry, I just had a...
Oh, one of those...
tired at the end of the day moments.
Yeah. It's like you remind me, my father said he used to attend once a month for his Rebbe, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who used to give a shiur that was public. This is in the 1930s. So my father was sitting at the shiur, it was a Rosh Chodesh shiur, and afterwards, Rav Moshe came over and he said to him in Yiddish, Berleib, Kenst du Iber Zogemein Shir? Can you say of my Shir? So my father was very embarrassed. So Rav Moshe said, I could see on your face that you were distracted. 300 people were attending the Shir, but he saw my father. He knew he was his mind was flying. It was my father just gotten engaged.
I haven't got such a good excuse.
Yeah, I was afraid when I was engaged in the Rav Shia that the Rav would call my wife because he knew that that's what I was thinking about. Alright, so let's see the Gemara's answer and see if we can answer both the Gemara's question and Tosus' question in one fell swoop. Says the Gemara, Ruba de Isa Kamon, I'm going to skip a few words, I'll come right back to it. Lo kami boile. I wasn't asking you about Ruba de Isa Kamon. That I know is based on the Pasuk Achrei Rab Lahatos. Ki kami boile. My question was Ruba de Lesa Kamon. Okay, so now we have a beautiful brisker tzvei dinim here. There are two categories of Rov. And Rabosa, what we're about to learn is one of the most fundamental sugyas in Shas. Half of the Shev Shmaita, the Ktzos, is built on this sugya. There's something called a Ruba de Isa Kamon and a Ruba de Lesa Kamon, which literally translates a Rov that we can see, it's in front of us, start counting, and a Rov that we cannot see. What's the case of a Rov that we can see? So let's go back to the few words that we skipped. Kigon, Teisha Chanuyos. I find a piece of meat in the street, in the town square, and that town is comprised of 10 butcher shops, 9 of which are kosher. Can I eat the meat? Right? Again, called the parish, Miruba parish. That's a Ruba de Isa Kamon, because I look at the butcher shops and I count 9 butcher shops that are selling kosher meat and 1 that is selling non-kosher meat. The Rove is crystal clear. I can count it, it's in front. Sanhedrin means that when Sanhedrin decides it in the 71 elders, I can count the voters. I'm either Laminion and I count. Kika mi boile, what I don't know. When the Torah says Achiram Lahatos, that's in the case of Ruba de Isa Kamon, like the case of Sanhedrin. I can count the Rov. I see it in front of me. But what about a Ruba de Lesa Kamon? What's a Ruba de Lesa Kamon? Kigon, Katan uktana minot. So let's talk a little bit about Katan and Katana. A man dies, Rachman Litzlan, without children. And he leaves a brother behind. The brother is a Katan. Let's say he's 9 years old. 9 in a day, to be accurate about it. And this Katan goes ahead and has a relationship with his sister-in-law. She's called a Yavama. And he's Mekayim the mitzvah of Yibum. Now, I have a question.
Hang on, he's age 9?
He's age 9 plus a day. Okay, I don't want to get into that whole... He's royal of beer, okay? And he had beer with her, so he was Miyavimha. So she has the status of an Eish Yesish. It's the only case in all of Halacha where a woman can become an Eish Yesish through the act of a Katan. And that's the case of Yibum. Now what happens?
But she's not consecrated. She's Mekadosh to him?
Yeah, sure.
But that's Yibum. Without a Chuppah?
No Chuppah is necessary. That's Yibum. Yibum only requires one thing, beer.
So,
the Yavam is a Gedol.
Just a question, just for general knowledge. Normal situation of an adult. right? We don't need a chuppah. You just need to do the.
Are you talking about yibum or you're not talking about yibum?
About yibum.
Yibum, we don't need a chuppah.
So it's automatic.
That when was the last time you saw yibum?
I never.
Never saw you. Neither did I. I also never. I've seen many chalitzas. Three times I saw chalitzas.
He said,
But I never saw yibum. But back in the day, they did yibum. And now the question is, what if a katan is miyabim? If a katan is miyabim, she's considered an eishes ish. Why? Because there's a fulfillment of the mitzvah of yibum. If you take a look at Rashi, he says, Disnan Yavam Katon Shabal Yavama Ktana Yigdulu Zem Ze. Okay, he points out that she's also Ktana, but that I wanted to dramatize it because I wanted to say she's a Gedola and now she's an Eshesish. If she's a Ktana, then it might depend upon whether the Kedusha was Doraisa and she was married up by her father or whether it was Kedusha Derabbana. So I wanted to, you know, avoid all that. Oh. Says Rashi, Shemati Velochai Shinon Shemati Matze Islandis Ohu Soris. Wait a second. This is very serious business. Until he becomes of age, we don't know if he's physically, biologically capable of reproduction. Mm-hmm. And if he's not capable of reproduction, then he's a Saris, and the Yibum is not a Yibum. If we talk about her, she might turn out to be an islandess, a woman who cannot reproduce. And we don't know whether this cotton is a healthy cotton or he's a saris. We don't know if she is a healthy girl or she's an islandess. And yet, we're going to allow this yibum to take place and we're going to recognize this yibum l'chol davar. And the question is how? The answer is rov. But this rov is called a ruva delesa, come on. You can't see the rove, you can't count it. The rove is based on a general assumption about nature, about biology.
That most.
For example, the Gemara in Nida says that the average woman gives birth after 9 months, and therefore we don't have to worry that she gave birth after 7 months. You know, many roves are based on either biological or psychological assumptions about the way human behavior works or the physical nature works, but it's not a ruba disa kaman. It's not like we take all the ketanim in a room and we do some sort of experiment, what's going to be down the line, and figure out if they are capable of reproduction or not. Says the Gemara, what's the source for this rove? And that's what this sugya is all about. Now, if I were to ask you the following question, based on this Gemara, which category of rov is stronger, is more reliable in halacha? A ruba de isa kamon or a ruba de lesa kamon? What would you say?
I thought isa.
Correct, because the Gemara says isa kamon is based on a pasuk, an explicit pasuk, akri rabim, lahatos. Whereas a ruba de lesa kamon, we don't know even where it's based on. But we're going to see in Mirza Hashem that the story is much more complicated than that. And in many cases, a Ruba de Lesa Kamon is stronger than a Ruba de Isa Kamon. In any event, the Gemara now wants to know what's the source for Rove. And the Gemara says the following. See if you could turn to Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Okay, because again, the Gemara goes through many possibilities until finally it comes to this possibility. Just 1 second. Looking for the right line. There's so many different. Gemara is going to say Maka of the Imo is Katle Lechashtil Malava of the Imo Zil Basar Rubaro Bilo Sachar Baal. What about Trefa? Why don't we assume the animal is a Trefa? We say Rova is on Trefa. And then the Gemara is going to say the following. Oh. Rav Kahana Omar. Okay, the first word to learn is Asya. It's about 12 lines down from the top. Rav Kahana Omar Asya, we could derive it mehoreg es hanefesh. That's the parasha of Ritzicha. The Omar Achmona Katli. The Torah says that we put him to death. Okay, so Reuven murdered Shimon, and we put Reuven to death. What's the chiddush? What are you getting nervous about? Says the Gemara, v'lechush dilma treifa havi. maybe, perhaps, the person he killed was a treifa. What's a treifa? A treif is someone who cannot live. You know, it's the... What do you say? He's going to die. And there's a puncture to an inner, a vital inner organ in which we can determine that within 12 months he's going to die. Horiges ha-treifa is potter. So the Gemara says that if you're going to put the murderer to death, el olav, it must be because mishum damrinin zil basaruba. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. I don't have to rely on Rav. Let's do what's called a post-mortem. Dissection. What's the word for it?
An autopsy.
Let's do an autopsy. V'chi tamin, if you'll tell me the bikina lay, that we're going to check the body. Hakam inavol. There's an isur nivola mess. We're not allowed to touch a dead body. You can't even touch it. So how are you going to check the body?
Do we even need to check it according to what we've already said so far? We were making, it was all based on assumptions. Therefore, finding out what actually is
what the situation. What assumption? You're assuming that the nerag, the nirzach, was not a treifa.
Well, no, just the same thing as you're assuming that the cotton is
but how do you know that? The Gemara is asking.
You don't, but you're assuming, you're applying a rov.
No, we're not applying rov until we prove rov. We know that rov operates in that case because the Mishnah in Yevamah says that we're allowed, we recognize this yibum even though we're relying on rov. Where did the Mishnah get it from? What's the source in the Torah? So now we're assuming that until you prove to me that Ruben the Lesser Kamon operates and the Torah relies on it, there's no basis for it. Uh-huh. You follow? So the answer is, how can we put a rotzech to death? That's explicit in the Torah. Maybe he killed a treifa. So the Gemara says, what do you mean maybe he'll kill the treifa? I'm going to check the body, post-mortem cadaver autopsy, and I'll determine that he was a healthy guy until the guy put a knife through his heart.
He still ended it
so
early.
The Gemara says, you can't do a post-mortem autopsy. Why not? Because it's nivel ames. The Torah is opposed to touching a dead body. Oh, the chite mishum even the foshos the high the navle. Okay, so you know what we're going to say? We want to save the life of the rotzech. The rotzech's life is in the balance. Did he kill a treifa or did he kill a healthy person? For that, we're going to have to do a cadaver autopsy.
You're saying that we shouldn't be doing. For
this, in order to save human life, in this case, the life of the rotzeach, we're allowed to perform an autopsy. So Gemara says, "Nay, but the autopsy is not going to help you because maybe exactly where the knife went in, the sword went in, that's where he had a hole. In other words, he had a punctured heart even before the Ritzicha.
But the chance of that happening is very, very remote.
So that's what the Gemara is saying, that it must be that the Torah held that we rely on the majority, and we assume that a person is walking on 2 feet is not a treifa. This is going to be the source for Ruba the Isa Kamon. I'm sorry, for Ruba the Lesser Kamon.
Why is it a treifa potter when in any event, if he may be dying, but he brought his life to an end earlier than it was meant.
Right,
to
he was Makarib Misaso, and he forced him to forfeit Chai Shah. But in Hilchas Ritzicha, you're only Chayiv as Rotzech if you do it in the Spitz way, meaning you have to do it the right way. If you tie someone down on a train tracks and the trains kill him, you're not Chayiv as Rotzech. In fact, if someone is underwater and you prevent him from getting out of the water, I mean, that's 2 days in the Gemara, but according to 1 day, Mitzamtin is potter. Only that, let's say you wanted to kill Reuven and inadvertently you killed Shimon instead. You're not a rotzeach. We can't put you to death according to the Shita of Reb Shimon.
It doesn't mean it's a good thing to do. Just
right, I'm not telling you. There are other punishments that we'll give him, you know. But I'm saying, Ritzicha, to put a rotzeach to death, everything has to fit exactly perfectly. And especially the Eidim have to be exactly perfectly. But in any event, what the Gemara is arguing is, how can we put any rotzeach to death? You'll tell me, well, we'll clarify that he was a bari and not a trait for the nirtzach, the victim, because we did a post-mortem surgery. No, that's not going to tell you a darn thing. It's not going to clarify, because perhaps exactly on the spot that he penetrated the sword, that's where he had a nekev. He had a hole in his heart. and that's why he was a treifa. So how can you put the rotzeach to death? And the answer has to be that we rely on rov, and this is a ruba the lesser kaman.
We're assuming that the person he killed didn't have a problem.
Correct. We're going to rely on rov and assume he didn't have any holes in his inner organs.
Now, is that
and he was a healthy person, and therefore we're going to put the rotzeach to death?
What? Is that in the absence of any other evidence? What if a doctor comes along and says, he's been
right. Look, we're going to do all the research that we can to try to clarify that this guy wasn't, this Nirtzach was not a treifa. But at the end of the day, after all the cards are in, we still are not convinced that he's a healthy guy. He might still have been a treifa, mm-hmm. Right? Again, if we can prove he was a treifa, because that's called a horigas a treifa, and he's part of the rotzeach is part in that case. But we're talking about your average case where we don't know this guy is a treifa. And the Gemara is saying, well, how can the Torah put the rotzeach to death? Maybe he is a treifa. And the answer has to be that we rely on rov. Says the Gemara, this is going to be the source of rov. And once again, I present my thesis that rov is doraisa. Lo mi boy in a ruba de isa, come on, where you can count the rov, you have teisha chanuyos. That's ruba de isa, come on, that's a pasuk in Chumash. Achrei Rabim Lahatos. We're going a step further. Even if the robe is built on a certain understanding of how nature operates, that when a person is born, they're healthy until we know otherwise. That when a child is Mekayim Yibum, we assume that he has reproductive organs that function well. And when a woman gives birth, we assume she probably gave birth after 9 months and not after 7 months. And so forth and so on. All these cases are robes that are built on nature or psychology. The Gemara says that in most cases a person will not be meiz panav bifnei bal chovo. If you demand from me payment for my for a chov that you lent me, in most cases I don't have the ha'aza to look you in the face and say, I never borrowed money from you.
I've always wondered about that one.
Okay. That today we have Haz's point of his rampant.
Right.
But there are many rows that are based on a certain psychological assumption. I'll give you another example. A person is living in my, let's say, squatting in someone's property, and he does so day after day, week after week, year after year, for 3 years. Why didn't the Baal HaBayis, the original Marukama, why didn't he say anything? Why was he shosek for 3 years? The answer is rov. Rov tells me that a person will not see somebody plow his field, plant his field, harvest his crops without complaining, without registering a silence. Silence here is not golden. The answer is silence is golden. It proves that he actually sold him the karka. And we see that in general, rov is meaningful, and the Torah is going to rely on rov. Lo mi boy, if it's a ruba de isa, come on, like the case of teisha chanuyos. But even in the case of ruba the lesser, come on. What's mafkia rov? So there are two things that I know of that are mafkia rov. One is called kavua. Like, so for example, a man throws a stone into a group. There are 9 Jews and 1 Kanani. So you would have said, Achiram lahatos, he's going to kill a Jew. Nay, since all the people in this group are kavua bimkoman, we say kol kavua kemechtzal mefzadam, and suffering the fresh lark, and we can't kill this rotzeah. Even if we find the body later of a Jew dead by virtue of the stone, the edim are clear. Nevertheless, he didn't throw a stone at a Jew. What do you mean he didn't throw? There was 90% chance he threw at a Jew. Kavuas mafkia. And number two, we have a case called Ein Holchim B'Mamon Achar HaRov. That, let's say, for example, I sell you a shor. Now, a shor could be used for one of two things, generally speaking. It could be used as a work animal, you know, for harisha, if it's a healthy animal. Or if it can't work, it could be used for shchita, for its value on the market for meat. Clearly, a shor l'ridya, which means for harisha, is worth a lot more. So I sell you a shor, and you paid me a money for a shor. Now you come to me and you say, wait a minute, this shor is not a shor l'harisha. So I say to you, I sold it to you for purpose of shchita, to eat a basar. So you say, but most people don't buy a piece of, don't buy an ox for its meat. They buy an ox because it's a workhorse. And I got cheated. So the Gemara says, Ein holchim b'mamon achar rov. Then in the case of mamon, as the exception to the rule of rov, we don't rely on rov. Now, even though, again, Tosfos's point was that Ruvah Chazaka Ruvah Adif, but nevertheless, when it comes to Cheskes Mammon, the Cheskes Mammon is the Chazaka with a capital Ches, and even a Rov cannot topple a Chazaka. So let's just summarize what we learned today. First of all, we learned that some people are, this you missed, Sammy, at the beginning, so just a good review. Some people are, we don't really want them to shecht. L'chatchila, we would not, you know, appoint them for shechita. The guy comes, he doesn't have any documents. Where's his kabbalah for shechita? L'chatchila, we would not give him the chalaf. But at the end of the day, with the eved, we're going to rely on Rov Mitzuyin as shechita mumchadeh, we're going to eat the meat. Or, for example, the Yerushalmi says a woman should not be appointed as the shochet of town. Why? Because Nashim Daitan Kalos, you know, they'll see the blood coming all over, they squill, this, that. We don't want that to happen. But with the effort, even the Yerushalmi would agree that the shechita of a woman is reliable. Then we said that the basic halach of chazaka tells me that if a behema was shechted and we have doubts about the shechita, then we're not allowed to eat the meat. Why not? Because and the Torah relies on chazaka. The Gemara tells us that this halach of chazaka works not only lechumra but even lekula. For example, you find a pagam in the sakin. You assume the pagam happened after the shkita, not before the shkita. And there are many such examples of chazaka lekula. We spoke about a pnuyo as a cheskes pnuyo, pesula, and so on and so on. So Gemara says, so what's the source for Chazaka? And the Gemara quotes the parsha of Hezger and Negei Batim, and the Kohen's allowed to rely that the Nega is the same Nega, blah, blah, blah. And you see Doraisa rely on Chazaka. So Gemara says, but how do we know Rov? So Gemara says, what are you, an imbecile? What do you mean? The Torah says, Akir Ravlah. So Gemara says, that's only the case of a Ruvah D'Issa Kamon, but what about a Rov with a Lesser Kamon? So what's a Ruvah D'Issa Kamon? We had two examples, Sanhedrin, Amid Aluminium, and Teisha Chanuyos. Tosus asks, wait a minute, Ruva Chazaka, Ruva Adif. You've already established Chazaka operates in the Torah, the source of that is the Parsha of what? Of Hezkiah. Then how much more so should Rov operate? The answer is, yeah. Rov is better than Chazaka in a case of a Ruva the Issa come on. But we still don't know if Rov is better than Chazaka in a Ruva the Lesser come on. For that, we need the Sugya of Rotzeach, that Rotzeach is put to death, even though we don't know if the Nirtzach, the victim, was a trefa, and even if you'll do a post-mortem cadaver, autopsy, you still can't clarify until the Malkum Sayef Nekavavli. And the answer is the Torah relies on Rov, and that itself is a Ruba, the lesser come on. Good? Right. Not bad. I mean, these are what I call the highlights of Perikama, the Chul.
So what are we learning down here?